Last week we spoke to Principal Consultant of PeopleEdge, Joe Attard. We were talking about applying for jobs in the new year, although we didn't cover all the areas because we kind of ran out of time. So I've invited Joe back to have a quick chat about those people that may have found themselves retrenched in 2017 and looking for new work in 2018. And she joins me now. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Susie. Happy New Year.
And the same to you. Retrenchment, it's a two-edged sword, isn't it, really? Because it comes across as a really negative thing. But I know some people that have embraced retrenchment and loved it.
Yes, and I think that's the key to it, really. It used to have a real stigma attached to it, but now, you know, most people will find themselves in the position of being retrenched up to 3 to 5 times in their working career.
Is it that many times?
Yeah, and more and more organisations are providing people with support through that, and often even prior to retrenchment, they're providing them with opportunities for redeployment within organisations. But if you find yourself in the situation, it is really important to take that time and really take a breath and use it to your advantage to work out what next for you, because that's something that we don't necessarily have the opportunity to do in our careers.
Mm. Our number is 13 12 83. If you have questions for Joe Attard, who's with me this morning talking about retrenchments. So what are some of the mistakes that people make when they either get wind or they are advised that they're no longer going to have a job due to redundancy?
Yeah, I think the main thing that happens is emotion takes over, and the typical thing is someone finds out that it's going to happen, they quickly update their resume, don't really have a good look at it, just quickly update it and start firing it out to everybody, letting everybody know that they're not going to have a job, and really acting on that, or reacting rather than really thinking through the consequences of that. And you're not necessarily in the right frame of mind at that time to do something in a very positive sense, and often you might even, you know, get an interview and get in front of someone. I've known this to happen a number of times, and start bad mouthing your previous employer because you're not quite over that anger, and obviously that doesn't go in your favour.
No, that's not the good way to get a job.
No, it's not. So it really is about, you know, taking that time and really, you know, rewriting your resume rather than updating it. So starting from scratch and rewriting it, looking at what's current at the moment, taking some time to understand what your industry is doing or what your profession is doing in the market, doing some research, engaging with your networks, re-engaging with those networks we spoke about last week is really important. And it's actually really important to have those networks set up when you don't need them, so when you do need them, they're there. So reconnection isn't that difficult at that time.
Can I just concentrate on the resume for a moment, Jo? Mm. Because they have changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody has been in a role for, say, 10 to 20 years, and they suddenly find themselves faced with retrenchment and then having to write a resume, how much information? See, I've been told you don't put on every single job because that makes you either look like you're really old or you job hop. But yet I think, well, if you put on every single job, it shows how much experience you've got. How much is too much and how little is too little?
Well, I suppose it really depends on the individual and the industry that they've worked in. But there are certain resume techniques that we use to, I suppose, best showcase what it is that people have and have done in their past. One of those is to you only really highlight the last 10 to 15 years of work, and anything previously to that, you can just make a note that, you know, previous to this, I spent...
I had a full career doing a whole lot of stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So really concentrating on that, but also rather than just listing your responsibilities, because I don't know about you, but any position description I've ever had has not really represented what I've actually done in that role. But have an achievement-based resume. So make sure you have 5 or 6 achievements in each role you've actually done that actually show what you've delivered in each of those roles, and through that you'll actually showcase your skills and capabilities, and you know, don't be shy about it. You know, really, really put your best foot forward in doing that, and make sure you have some achievement stories around those. So when you get into your interview, which you'll get because you've got such a fabulous resume,
right.
you'll be able to actually speak to those achievements in a very succinct way.
Right, okay. And make sure they're your achievements. Don't steal them from somebody else.
Yes, you'll quickly be found out, particularly now. I mean, there's more and more organisations doing full background checks on individuals as well,
yeah.
Rather than just reference checks. So, you know, anything that you fib about on your resume will certainly come out at some stage.
I'm talking to Jo Attard from People Edge, our number 131283. If you have questions on getting a job in 2018, updating your resume, if you've recently been retrenched and you'd like some advice, Jo's with me on 131283. Yeah, just on that, I do remember interviewing a particularly young, enthusiastic person about a job who'd come to me and said, well, I did a particular project. I was in the area of PR. And I actually knew the person that had done that project. It was a big mistake. And I said, oh, so tell me, how did you actually go about that? It's like, oh, please don't lie about what you've done. Yeah. You'll be found out. It's a small industry. Everybody knows everyone. Okay, so we're in the job interview. We're highlighting our achievements.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real fine line, I think, Jo, between coming across as confident and coming across as a little bit arrogant.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at an interview as a conversation rather than an interview or even just a meeting, and you really do have your, as I call them, achievement stories. If you have them prepared and they're relevant to the situation, you will talk confidently about them because you know them.
Mm.
And you won't be coming across as cocky. You'll be coming across as something that you've done. And if you look at it as a conversation, I mean, we all get nervous in interviews, but having that basis of real stuff there that is you to talk about will come across as very authentic for a start, and will also help alleviate any nerves that you have, but also come across as somebody who's just, you know, at their game.
Hmm. So just going back to the area of retrenchment, should you tell a prospective employer that you have been retrenched?
Yes, well, there's not the same stigma attached to it as there used to be. I think because so many people have been there, and I've been there a number of times, I've had five role redundancies, actually. I've been retrenched three times. Twice I was very, very happy about. I think it happens. Most people know someone or have been there themselves, and so trying to hide it is not going to help.
Mm.
All it does is it drags the emotion back for you, which means that you're not going to perform well in an interview with that emotion sort of hanging over your head.
Yeah, so there's a couple of opportunities. You can embrace it, as we were saying earlier, and look at it as a positive.
Mm.
Sometimes it's a motivator to get it. You can actually get a better job than the one that you had. You don't even realise, say if you've been with an organisation for, 10, 20 years, you don't really know that there can be better organisations out there. But the other warning I think that we should give too is if somebody does receive a rather large retrenchment payout, don't spend it all at once.
That's right. And I think getting financial advice in those situations is paramount. And, it's very tempting. You know, you've been in a job for 20 years, all of a sudden you've got this little pot of money, it might not be so little, might not seem so little, then I can go on a holiday now, and you blow 6 months' salary on taking a nice trip to Croatia or somewhere. You come back and you go, oh, now I've got to find a job.
Yes.
And it might take you, and the more senior you are in an organisation, the longer it'll take you, and it frequently takes senior executives 18 months to 2 years to find their next gig.
Well, that's that conversation that we were having last week about people over the age of 50. It can be more difficult, can't it?
It can, and so you really have to pace yourself. Mm. So I think a little break is good. I think a holiday is good. Just, you know, don't make it overly extravagant. And really get good advice, because it's not only your retrenchment package, but it's also your, you know, your superannuation comes into it, and all of your other financial pieces also come into it. So it's really important to get that good advice from somebody from a professional who knows your particular situation.
And that's one of the things we have here at Talking Lifestyle. We have so many great experts. Thank you for joining us over the last couple of weeks.
No problem.
We'll find you at People Edge. Is it peopleedge.com.au?
That's right, yes.
Okay, thank you, Jo. Lovely to have you on the show.
Okay, thanks, Susie.